My light's going out. Could be. We do appreciate the conference, and we appreciate each message. And I thought last night of the start of it, of course, you always, when one asks you to preach, you begin to think, well, now, Lord, what am I supposed to preach on? And we know it's the Word of God, but what part of it? And you begin to think about some things, and there's been a thing in which that we've been preaching to our own people now for 4 weeks, every night and morning of services, that is. And I thought, well, that's what it'll be, and that is what it's going to be. But we came here last night, and Brother Smith started, and he stomped all over the end of it, the back end of my message, where I was going to wind up at. Oh, well, that's not too bad. Brother Bill got up and he stomped all around it. Well, that's not too bad. Brother Clark get up and he stomps all over it too. So I thought, well, that's still not too bad, because he said a lot of things that I would like to say and wouldn't have time. So I'm thankful. Like what Brother Clark spoke of, I'm thankful to know that the Spirit of God is here. Because you can tell that one sets it up for another. And it's like this book. This book has many hands that penned it down, but it's got one author. And that one author, in which that it is, it's the Lord Himself, because it speaks of Him from Genesis to Revelation. And He inspired these men by the Holy Spirit of God to pen down what He wants us to know, what He wants us to have. And He penned that down, and so it has God for its author, but many in which it penned it down. And when one begins to proclaim the Word of God, another one then, his turn becomes the time for him to also to proclaim the Word of God, and they fit together. You know that the Spirit of the Lord is working among us. And if someone gets up and they begin to proclaim something which that don't fit with what you've already heard, it don't fit with this book, turn your ear off real quick. Now, similar and close to what we want to bring in, think about, and I want to mention this before I get into it. You can be turning to 2 Timothy. That's where we'll start. Second chapter, second verse, actually. My people that are here today, which we're thankful for them, that they've come this way and they be here. They didn't know that they're going to hear me today, but they're going to hear some things, the statements. They won't hear the message, but it'll be the statements in which that they've heard before. But these, before me, have mentioned and spoke of a universal business. And I find that thing raising its ugly head again. A thing in which that has happened that I have noticed, and I don't know why, but God called it to my attention real close, and it set me afire in a sense. We've got a group of them today in which that they've got the money behind them too. And they've got the world behind them. Amen. And that's this bunch calling themselves the Promise Keepers.
Amen.
Now, I'd like to know whose promises they're keeping to start with. And I'd like to know what promises they're keeping. The more I study into that, the more I find that it is so ungodly that it's completely, well, it'd be funny if it wasn't so serious. They are ungodly. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because many people today, they look at you and say, hey, preacher said they're doing a good work. By whose measuring stick? I don't think there's an ounce of spirituality in them. The judge does a good work. but there's no spirituality in him. God appointed him. God even used Pharaoh. He said, for this reason, for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Now, they're in the hands of God, but they're not following the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now, they've got a book written by the fellow by the name of Hicks that if I understand things right, and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to get a hold of that book. I want to find out more about that, not that I want the book. She said, I don't want. I said, I do, because I want to know what they're saying. I want to know what they're basing it on. But if I understand it right, it's nothing more than the same old pagan, ungodly thing that caused the children of Israel to dance around that calf naked. Nothing different, because it's the masculine journey written by Hicks, if I understand it right. And it's put out nothing more than sexuality.
Amen.
Now, I could stand to be corrected by a lot of things, but because this little old dumb country boy, I can tell you a little bit about a mule. When you get me some other things, I have trouble with them. So, the more that we think and the more that we see, even our politicians of today are scared to death because they stated on TV at home, I don't know if they've done it down here or not, but I take it that it was nationwide, that if they banded together, that they could put their man in the White House. Now we say, well, that would be good. Bring this nation back toward God. It's not going to do it.
Amen.
It's not going to do it. There's no way it's going to bring it back toward God when it's built upon the wrong foundation, as these men have already told you, what foundation. So we look in the book of 2 Timothy, and we find our starting point here. Second chapter, and I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now you can stand and you can teach one of those promise keepers all you want to. But he'll never get a hold of it enough that he can teach others. You say, well, why can't he? It looks simple to me. Because the Spirit of God will not lead him into all truths like he does those in which that have submitted themselves to baptism. And are a member of the Lord's church. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead them. Fact of it is, I don't find a word that he is anywhere near them unless that they're saved by God's grace. And if they're saved by God's grace, I understand and know that they can be deceived. But that Holy Spirit, if they'll listen to him, they won't be deceived long. Because God, the Lord said that he will guide you. I'm going to send you this comforter. And you're going to have him because he's going to be the seal. He seals you until the day of redemption. You're sealed. You belong to God. And you're going to have him. And he's going to guide you into all truths. But do you know the first thing in which he'll guide you in? The very first thing in which that he will guide you in is to submit unto the Lord. And the Lord will lead you through the baptismal waters. And anyone in which that is in rebellion against that, you can mark it down that God's not fixing to take them very far. They're on their own out here. And when man is on his own, all it is a downward slide. He's not going up. He's going down. Look in the book of Romans, where it speaks of there, and he talks about those in which that they looked out. They worshiped the birds. Then they worshiped the beast. Then he got down to where that they worship creeping things. Bro, that shows where man worships. He starts and he comes down. He don't start down here and go up.
Amen.
Only God can do that.
Amen.
No one else can take you from here up except God himself. Now, in seeing this, some will say, okay, said that was written here to Timothy, a young preacher, that Paul was kind of taken under his wing to learn him and to teach him some things. Well, that is true. Got no problem with that at all. But we back up in 1 Timothy And we look in chapter 3 and verse 14. Now, I think that this book was written to the same man. He wrote one letter, and then he wrote another one to him. And they go hand in hand. But here in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, in verse 14, said, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Now, so this is why I'm writing to you, Timothy. So you'll know how to behave yourself in the house of God. Well, we all need instructions. But we need instructions from the Word of God. We don't need instructions from some man's ideas, his opinions. We don't need that at all, but we need the Word of God. And instructions coming from the Word of God is that which that edifies and builds up. And the reason why that they don't want it is that they don't want to be built up toward the Lord. They want their own ideas and opinions to be brought out in the open, or brought out to where that man would look and he would look at them and praise them because of what that they're doing. But I think of old John the Baptist, the one in which that the Lord taken and he was sent of God, giving the authority and the power to baptize. And of course, he introduced the Lord to Israel. He introduced the Lord to the world. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he baptized those people. That was a prepared people for the Lord when he got here. And out of that group, the Lord chose those 12 and began the first church in which that the world had ever known anything about. And the only one, really, that the world will ever know anything about. I mean, they know about a lot of these other organizations. But I don't mean to be hard, I don't mean to be smart, but they're not churches. Never have been, never will be. There's no way you can make them a church. Unless that the Lord comes on the scene and you take and all of them are saved by the grace of God and they receive baptism at the authority, or at the hands of one in which it does have the authority. That's the only way that it could possibly become a church. And then I might say this one thing, those in which that happens to, and that's why it's so important that we do teach those. That's why it's so important, because if you take a young child today and you teach him these things, though God does save him and God does give him the Holy Spirit and God does add him to the church, there's still some teaching that'll fight him all the days of his life. He can't hardly get away from it. It bothers him. Haven't you seen it through the years? We've noticed that. Brother, I'll tell you what, some of the teaching that we had, which was ungodly teaching, I'm talking about as far as the teaching that we had was taught to us as a young child, is that that bunch of Baptists there, I come from another bunch of Baptists, no, I come from another bunch, they had the name of Baptists, but they would speak and say, that bunch of, they don't know what they believe. They believe that man is saved for time and for eternity. Well, I come to find out when God saved me that they didn't know what they're talking about, because they didn't have salvation. If they had salvation, they would have understood that God does save for time and for eternity. Now, that's some of the teaching that you've got to have. Continue teaching these things. But this is the church. There is the teaching institution. You don't find it nowhere else. Now, I don't mean to be hard nor smart nor aggravating, but I don't find where that God gave any other group of people the right to teach spiritual things. That church has that authority and that only. And I don't mean to be hard about these things, but it's just not there in the Word of God. But he said, "Now I want you to know how to behave thyself." Now, if I understand behaving is doing the right things, when I tell my children, "Behave," he's doing something that I don't like. So when you say behave yourself, that means to conduct yourself in the order in which that is deemed to be right. So we have and we find our orders given to us in the Word of God of that in which that we are to do. Now, you can't deviate, you can't turn off of these orders
the marching orders in which that God gave, he wrote. And he gives us, we could turn to other places, and I'm trying to run about, well, I told you, for 4 weeks, that's 8 services. I'm trying to run them all in a sense together, and it won't work. But we find where that these things are given to us, and they're given to his church. It's already been mentioned. The commission, there in the book of Matthew, to where that he speaks of, he says, you go, you make disciples, or you teach them, you make this, you've got to tell them. And that's the only group that I know of that have the authority to go out into the world and to proclaim the Word of God. Others have taken it on themselves. But he said, you go out there and you teach them. Now, what are you going to teach them? You're going to tell them Jesus Christ. You're going to tell them that he died for sinners. You're going to tell them that he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and to trust him for, actually for all, not just for the salvation of your soul, but for all things. You trust him for all things. And as you trust him, you will find and see to where that now you've been made alive unto God. Now, Timothy, you keep teaching these that they may teach others also. You've been made alive unto God. Now, where you were dead in trespasses and in sins, but now you are alive. Then he said, you baptize them. After that they've been taught and they've been made alive unto God, you baptize them. And then he said, you teach them to observe. If I understand things right, that's to put them in gear. The teaching in which that you are learning, put it in gear. All you could teach him before that he was baptized was that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You can't teach him the deeper doctrines of the Word of God. Only Baptists have that authority to teach others, and to teach others in which that will also be able to teach those following after them. The perpetual teaching in which that has brought the Word of God down to us. You say, oh, said we have it in Scripture, we have it in the form of a book here, called the Holy Bible. Yes, we do. And I had read and read and read, but I didn't understand it. Until one day, there was a little old fella, and he was, his name, they called him Pee-wee, that's all I ever knew him as. I could hold my arm out and he'd walk under me. But he was a heavy-set fella, he'd been a boxer. I don't know how anybody ever hit him down at Lowell, but he was a little fella. And he was going from worker to worker there to where that we was working. He came up to me. I'd been wrestling with this thing for a while. I'd done heard that Jesus Christ had died for my sins, but I didn't understand all of it. He came up there, and the other boys would push him away. We don't want no part of that. He came to me, and I said, I want to talk to you. He went ahead and talked to me, and that night, there in Louisville, Kentucky, we turned her all over to the Lord. I didn't understand a lot of things. It went on for 2 years, to where that I really had been taught that group of them up there on the hill, above where that we lived, they don't know what they're talking about. But it wasn't long until God began to work on me again. Things changed. There was a different heart. There was a different outlook. There was a different attitude. But there had to be some changes made in the teaching in which that I'd gotten. Then when we began there in the church after that we were baptized, there was a whole new world opened up unto me. I mean, I didn't know, didn't have any idea. Why? Because I had been dead, and the 2 years that God had saved me had been in rebellion. But when we submitted to him, Brother, the Holy Spirit then could teach. And brother, I want you to know that I didn't place myself there. I didn't put myself in that church. I submitted to it But looking back upon it, I thought I did at the time. But looking back upon it, I can see where that God placed me there because He wanted me to hear some teaching to where that I would be able to teach others also. That thing keeps right on going. And because of where that the Lord has blessed us there at Faith Baptist Church, He's blessed us there with a lot of young ones. There's four of them sitting right here now. Many young ones in which that we have there. Brother, I'll tell you what, my heart goes out. Because if they're not taught the things of God from the pulpit of the church to where that they go, they won't hear it. It won't be anywhere around because the world out here is teaching them everything else. And even what that they do call religion is so ungodly. And it hurts. It bothers. And that this morning is what I'd like to tell you about. I'm not one that can preach to a bunch of preachers. But I'd just like to let you look in this heart for a little while. Brethren, if we don't do it, it won't be done. I know that God's work is going to be done. It don't depend upon me. I understand God is a sovereign God. But let me tell you something. He has chose the way in which that He's laid out for us to follow after and do. And brother, that's in and through His church. Nowhere else do you find that they've got that authority. And if we don't do it, it will not get done. And it's a serious matter. We have already heard. I've got three or four outlines here I'm supposed to go by. But we have already heard this morning and last night, said, I'll build my church. You've already heard where commission was given to it. You can find in the book of Acts, the word in the first chapter of it, that there was 120 members. And He speaks and said, ye shall receive power. We don't lack for anything. We don't lack for a thing. And then we find in Acts, the second chapter, starting with verse 1, that power was given. There on the day of Pentecost, He endued that church with power from on high. Many things could be said about that. The Shekinah glory of God showed forth there like it did in the temple. It came and it literally submerged that first church in the Holy Spirit of God. And then we find the word that He speaks, and it was mentioned here. I believe Brother Bill mentioned this last night, and Brother Martin might have hit it this morning. I sitting there so nervous, didn't know all things. But He speaks of in Ephesians, the third chapter, where it says, glory in the church throughout all ages. Well, if I understand what God's saying, that church that He began over there and said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, like Brother Mark so told us a while ago, she's still in this world today. And I firmly believe that men, women, boys and girls like you that have submitted yourself to baptism, and I'm breaking myself my habit of saying scriptural baptism. Because when you say baptism, Brother, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one. And I'll get to that in a moment. All this other out here, you've gotten wet. You didn't even get a good bath. You just got wet. You got stuck underwater and brought back up and had to dry off. We've done that in the swimming holes when we was kids. Had just as much authority as they've got. But it said glory in the church throughout all ages. All right? That church is still in existence, as we all know. But He also said in Ephesians 5 that He loved that church and that He presented it unto Himself. Now that gets to be down real serious. As you think of the church, so as you think of Christ. Now, I stated that at home, and my wife told me, Eva, she said, when you first stated that, said, it caught my ear. You hear a lot of people say, oh, said, I love the Lord. I love the Lord out there. What about the church? Oh, well, that bunch down there. You don't love the Lord. No. And even some in which that have been baptized by the hands of the church, you hear them talking, and they'll get out there and they'll say, okay, said, I belong to a certain church down here. But said, you know, said, they believe. Well, what do I believe? That one is talking. What do you believe? You'll find themselves, they'll cut themselves loose from the church. Oh, but I love the Lord. Well, if I understand, like I said, if I understand things right, I believe I do. Jesus spoke and said, talking, I firmly believe, of his church, said, you visited me. You went out here and visited. He said, wherein did we visit you? He said, you visited one of these when they were sick. And doing that, you visited me. Speaks of how that one of these little ones, and brother, I believe we all qualify as little ones in the hands of God. He said, one of these little ones, you hinder and bother and hurt one of these little ones out here. It'd be better for you if you had a millstone tied around your neck and cast in the deepest part of the sea. Now there's the closeness and the oneness of the Lord and his church. So those in which they say, I love the Lord, but I don't want nothing to do with that church, brother, they're lying between their teeth. Because it comes back to this one particular thing, like what we said a while ago. As you think of the church, so you think of Christ. Because that's his bride. That church in which that he has brought together, that's his bride. Now, all that are on our roll book, he hasn't brought. Now, let me clarify that thing, because somebody take it and run off and say, I don't believe that everything in which that's put on the roll book of the church is going to be in the bride. Just don't believe that. But that bride is those in which that God has added to that church. Now, he's going to present it to himself. And we are the workmen. The church of the living God is the workmen. You read in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and 20th verse, he said, we pray you in Christ's stead. He said, no one else has that authority. No one else has the right to give the word of God or the invitation. It's not our invitation, but it's God's invitation. And we pass that on to others. We, the church and pastor, pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's the message. That's what we're to give. And we find also, to back it up, in Romans the 15th chapter, verse 1 through 4, teaches us and shows us that these things were, whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. So we have the Word of God that we are to teach. You teach those that we able to teach others also. Now, got a lot of other things, but I want us to take now and turn to the 4th chapter, the book of Ephesians. The boys went all around this, but they didn't hit it. Not entirely. And I want to start in the first verse of it. Now, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, I'm just reading this to get started. You hang on to the 4th chapter there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the church at Ephesus that he's writing to. They're the ones that's faithful in Christ Jesus. I don't mean to sound hard, but anyone in which that's not a member of the church cannot say that they're faithful unto Christ. They're not faithful unto God. I don't mean to be sounding hard, but they're not. He said, let your light so shine, but you take that light and you place it upon the candlestick. And when they all come together in that body of His, you look what a light is shining to this lost and dying world. But in Ephesians here, in chapter 4, verse 1, said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. Now, I don't recall right now, I did way early this morning when I was supposed to be sleeping. Preached this to myself. I preached better then than it is right now, I believe. But anyhow, not too long ago, somebody, it could have been at the meeting there at Faith at Sacramento, was preaching upon this very thing, talking about the vocation wherein we was called. Might have been Brother Penix there. Brought a good message to us. We appreciate it. But the vocation is our, if I can say it this way, is actually our life order. It goes a little bit further than just having a job. They say, well, what kind of a work do you, what is your vocation? Today out here they mean, what kind of work do you do? But those in which have been made alive unto God, they are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and they walk in a new way of life because that they have went through the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection in and through baptismal waters. When they come back up out of those waters, they're walking in a new way of life, and that is their vocation, wherein that they've been called. Now, He calls also, because you'll find where that He gives gifts unto men. Jesus Christ bought and paid for every spiritual and every good gift in which that you'll ever have coming to you. He bought and paid for it. Bought and paid for it there upon the cross of Calvary, and it's yours because He wants you to have it. All right? That vocation would be our walk here upon the face of this earth. So now just read on. It said, the vocation wherein you're called, worthy of that, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, you'll hear people out here speak of that, and I've had them to tell me that. I don't fit too well with my bunch of kinfolks back home. And I've had them to tell me that. Said, boy, said, you're supposed to be a preacher and you can't do that. I said, that's right. That's one of the reasons I can't do it. But I'm supposed to reach out and live up all of this stuff that they want to bring in the name of religion. Well, that's the same thing that the promise keepers are asking us to do. But don't you understand and know that we're trying to get to the same place too? What they don't understand and know, I quit struggling several years ago. I'm not trying anymore. I'm on my road. Sometimes I have a lot of pitfalls and stumble and a lot of hindrances. But brother, I tell you what, the total wind-up is going to be that Jesus Christ Himself is going to be the one which shall come and receive me unto Himself, because I have within me that Holy Spirit of God. But He said, forbearing one another in love. This body is to have love one for another. And it's not to reach out and to love. You love these others out here. They're, a lot of them are your family, your acquaintances. You can't keep from loving them. But you love them with a spiritual and a scriptural love enough that you will stand for the truth and proclaim to them that which will do them good. You don't compromise down on it. You can't do it. Now, He said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Brother, we're to endeavor to do that. God said, as far as possible, live peaceful with all men. Some of them it's not possible to do that with. But he said, as far as possible, do it. He said, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Brother, I tell you what, that narrows it down so tight that they don't even have any